And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him. Please be seated. In recent decades, the church in America has done a good job of emphasizing the immanence of God. To say that God is immanent means that God is here, that he's present, that he's accessible, he is with us. God acts within humanity. He acts within this world because of God's immanence. He is near to us and we can know him personally. Marvelous truth is declared in the doctrine of God's immanence. And as I said, the American church has done a good job, has done well to emphasize this truth. But in recent decades, the American church has not done as good of a job at emphasizing the transcendence of God. To say that God is transcendent means that he is above and beyond his creation. He's not part of his creation. He's separate from creation. He has eternally existed, and he's a creator who spoke all things into existence. So God cannot be confused with creation because he transcends creation. The immanence of God and the transcendence of God are two contrasting yet complementary aspects of God's nature. Understood together, we have a fuller, more developed, more accurate and knowledge of God than if we knew either one of these by themselves. His transcendence reveals to us his holiness, his glory, his majesty, his high and exalted position above all things, while his immanence reveals things to us about the love that he has for his people and our ability to interact with God and experience a personal relationship with him. To whatever degree we minimize or neglect either the transcendence of God or the immanence of God, we distort our view of God and of God's nature. The effects of such an imbalance will be seen, will be evident in our worship, because it's in our worship that our attitude and our view of God is so vividly displayed. For example, Hebrews 10:19. Encourages us to have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. To have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. And this passage is emphasizing God's immanence, because Jesus is our high priest who consecrated us through his flesh. We are able to enter into the holy presence of God with boldness, hence the immanence of God. But we need to balance this with the transcendence of God, which is what is emphasized in the passage that serves as our reading of the law this morning. Psalm 89, specifically verses 6 and 7, emphasize the fear and reverence that must characterize our worship of God. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him. Because we worship the Lord, who is both immanent and transcendent, we can boldly enter the throne room of our Lord by the blood of Jesus Christ, but we must enter with reverence and fear. As I said a moment ago, to whatever degree we minimize or neglect either the transcendence of God or the immanence of God, then we distort our view of God, and this will show up in our worship. When we emphasize God's transcendence to the neglect of his immanence, then we end up with worshiping a God that we perceive to be distant, a God who is impersonal, a God who is unapproachable. That's how Muslims view the God of Islam. They have great reverence for Allah, but they don't have a personal relationship with Allah. They don't enjoy an intimate connection with their God. And there are some Christian churches that are this way as well. They're sometimes referred to as the black stocking churches. Worship in the black stocking churches is always prim and proper. Everybody is wearing their Sunday best. Everybody is serious and sitting up straight. Nobody is smiling. Nobody is having any fun. The culture of the church is largely characterized by what you cannot do because it will be an offense to the holy God, the transcendent God, but not the immanent God. And the problem with the black stocking churches is that it's not that they have too high a view of God's transcendence. It is not that they have too high a view of God's transcendence, but that they have too low a view of God's immanence. The two need to be balanced. But if the imbalance is shifted in the other direction, which is what characterizes most American churches today, most American churches are emphasizing God's immanence to the neglect of his transcendence. And when this happens, we end up thinking that we can just casually enter into God's presence while giving little consideration to the fact that we are appearing before the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. When we emphasize the immanence of God over the transcendence of God, we probably won't experience the appropriate sense of awe when we begin to worship God, when we approach him, which means our worship will lack the reverence that God demands. We'll think it's a casual thing to offer up praise to the Almighty because we're not mindful of the splendor of his holiness. We're not mindful of the magnificence of his majesty, and we're not mindful of the radiance of his glory. Many of us, brothers and sisters, many of us have come to know the Lord in an environment that places more of an emphasis upon the immanence of God than upon his transcendence, which means many of us have needed to learn what fear and reverence are, what holy worship really is, how the Lord is to be greatly feared in the assembly of the saints. And I submit to you that the manner in which Esther approached King Ahasuerus is a good picture of how we should approach our triune God. Did Esther come boldly into the throne room of King Ahasuerus? Yes, she did. Her actions were very bold. Did Esther also appear before King Ahasuerus with fear and reverence? Yes, she did. Not only was her speech making this apparent, but so was her apparel, and so was her body language. They all together communicated respect and reverence for the king for which she stood in front of. So it should be when we come to worship the Lord, brothers and sisters, the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, not King Ahasuerus, who's just a man, but the triune God. We come boldly into the presence of God by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we come with fear and reverence because we are entering into a conversation with the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, which means when the Lord is speaking to you, then you listen with a similar level of attention that Esther gave to King Ahasuerus when he spoke to her. Sometimes we don't give the Lord the attention he deserves when he's speaking to us. When he calls us to worship and he extends his welcome to us, we might be carrying on a conversation with the person next to us. While the Lord is assuring us of his pardon of our sins, we might be digging through our purse or our backpack to find a little snack to eat. And while the Lord is pronouncing his benediction upon us, we might be thinking about what we're going to eat for lunch. And the same thing goes. The same lack of fear and reverence for God is displayed when we speak to God, right? The same lack of fear and reverence is often displayed when we speak to God. When it's our turn to speak to the Lord, then we should do it with a similar type of focus that Esther had when she was speaking to King Ahasuerus. When we sing a song of thanksgiving to God, our hearts should actually, truly, genuinely be expressing gratitude for the salvation Christ has accomplished. And when we bow our heads in corporate prayer, we should be listening to the person who's leading the prayer and then making those words our own words as we join our hearts together and lift them up corporately in prayer to God. It's a participation that we engage in prayer. And when we say amen at various points of the worship service, we should genuinely be expressing our consent and our agreement to whatever truth was just proclaimed to us. Our God is both immanent and transcendent, brothers and sisters. To emphasize his transcendence over his immanence leads to a distorted understanding of God's character, thinking that he is impersonal, detached from our everyday experiences. And to emphasize his immanence over his transcendence leads to a distortion of God's character in a different direction, which lacks fear, which lacks reverence. We treat God as if he was just one of our casual friends. And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints. That's us. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him. Where the Holy Spirit has borne witness to you of your own deficiencies, your own failures, your own sins, then remember that God pardons and forgives all who truly repent while trusting in the atoning work of Jesus Christ. And repentance includes confession, so we confess our sins to God. Let's spend a time of silent confession where you can confess the sin of irreverence, the sin of not fearing the Lord, the fear of treating God flippantly, or if that's applicable, or any other sin that the Lord has laid upon your heart. Bring that to the cross of Jesus Christ. Bring it to the place where we have forgiveness of sins and reconciliation with our triune God. And after an appropriate time of silence, I'll lead us in corporate worship, prayer as well. Let's pray.